All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm talking to you from New York City on this, the 8th day of September 2020. I do like to remind you, I am the author of a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks, and go to miningstocks.com to subscribe for that. You can go to ChenPicks.com to pick up on Chen Lin's letter. What is Chen buying? What is Chen selling? We do want to thank all of you for listening to the show, making it one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel, and also encourage you to keep your questions, comments, whatever they may be, coming along to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. We do, of course, want to thank our sponsors, because without them, there would be no show. Our sponsors for today's show, NV Gold, GMV Minerals, Grand Portage, Hannon Metals, Irving Resources, Lion One Metals, Novo Resources, and Sitka Gold Corp. Before I introduce today's show and a surprise guest, let me tell you that I have completed filming my Investing 101 Gold, Silver, and Miners course, and that the launch date for this course is October 1st. We will be providing updates as October 1 draws near. So if you're interested in taking the course, send us your email address to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, the questions number 4 at taylor@gmail.com, and we'll keep you posted as October 1st approaches. And since I know many of you are big Michael Oliver fans, and given that gold has been showing some weakness over the past several trading sessions, let me quote Michael from his weekend missive. Here's what Michael had to say about gold, and quote, "After major recent quantum leaps, gold is now cooling off, but no sustained downside, just up and down, yawning action. Our opinion is to relax, hold long. It's the bears who should be nervous because their repeated selling only produced sideways action. Their clock is getting short," end of quote. In other words, hang in there. Don't worry about these downturns right now in gold. They're probably very short-lived and certainly would seem to be any numerous different reasons why you have to be bullish on gold and other tangibles at this point in time. Well, I've titled today's show, The Role of Gold in Surviving a Global Economic Abyss. Bob Moriarty and Corwin Coe return as today's guests, and in just a moment, a surprise guest, Dr. Anthony Santelli, will join me during this first segment to introduce an energy technology company that I think has a great deal of promise. By no means does the introduction of an energy technology company mean I am giving up on gold and silver. Absolutely not. We are in the bull market of a lifetime for the precious metals because fiat currencies are in the process of self-destruction. But life will go on, and I do think that there are opportunities outside of the precious metals sector that are worth learning about. And the company that Dr. Santelli heads up, namely Alliance Bioenergy, is one of them. If you were to take President Trump's proclamation seriously that somehow his superhuman capabilities generating a V-shaped recovery, then that there would be no reason, if that were the case, to own gold. It would be great if President Trump's version of economic reality were true. Then we could forget spending our time, energy, and capital in search of production of gold, which, when you think about it, is a very little earthly good other than serving as an honest monetary metal. If we had honest money, resources that are being used to find gold might better be applied towards efforts like those of Alliance Bioenergy. Well, there will be money anyway for those companies that can make money, and that's what we want to try to find out. The prospects for Alliance Bioenergy, of course, when we talk to Dr. Santelli. But the truth be told, even before the pandemic, the credit cycle that began after the 2008 financial crisis was stretched to its limits. And while the banking system has seemingly not yet been impacted, as Alistair MacLeod told us last week, a banking crisis is most likely somewhere in the near future, especially when you look at the over-leveraged banks in Europe. But just this morning, the Financial Times reported that there are increasing concerns by U.S. banks that borrowers against real estate for offices, malls, and hotels will start massively defaulting as these buildings, the buildings that they are borrowing to finance, are being vacated en masse. And you know, the only thing central bankers know to do in response to these kinds of issues is to print massively more money to bail out the banks, for which the Federal Reserve, of course, was actually created in the first place. The Fed's first responsibility is the banks, and secondarily, perhaps, the American citizens. Global central bankers know the days are numbered for the existing dollar-based fiat monetary system, which is why a Finnish economist and former central banker has stated that we should be anticipating a new global monetary architecture that will no longer be dollar-centric, but will be based on a basket of currencies plus gold. You can access the article reporting on an interview that this central banker gave at miningstocks.com. If you go there at miningstocks.com, there is a link on September 2nd that will take you right to the article's titled "The World is Heading Towards a New Monetary System." Just click on that link and you'll go right to it. Just this morning, I noticed an article at 321 Gold reporting that the IMF now holds 90.5 million ounces of gold. And I will be talking to Bob Moriarty in the second half of today's show about his views regarding a new monetary system, as well as one of my favorite exploration companies and Bob's as well, that he is writing a book about. So we'll be talking to Bob about those topics in the second half of today's show. In just a few minutes from now, Corin Koh, he is the CEO of Sitka Gold Corp, will talk about three highly prospective gold projects in the U.S. and Canada that are being drilled this summer by Sitka. And Sitka Gold is certainly one of my favorite exploration stories, not only because of all three of its projects, but also because this company still is unrecognized in the markets. Sitka currently has a market cap of less than $10 million in U.S. money. But speaking of another stock with a great potential and a very low market cap, I'm really pleased to welcome Dr. Anthony Santelli. Thanks for joining me, Anthony.
Thanks, Jay.
It's really good to catch up with you, and I should, before we get started, should tell our listeners that Alliance Bioenergy, which you'll tell us about in a moment, people can go to AllianceBioE.com, AllianceBioE, the letter E, .com, to learn more about your company. It trades in the pink sheets, ALLM, 235 million shares approximately outstanding. Recent prices saw at about 11 cents this morning with a market cap of about $26 million. So Alliance Bioenergy claims to be able to produce renewable fuels and biodegradable bioplastics from cellulosic material in a CO2 neutral and environmentally friendly manner, and at a lower cost than from corn or fossil fuels, as I understand it. So just tell our listeners a little about your company, because if it's as good as it seems to me it's another one of those companies that's going unrecognized in the market, given your market cap of only around $26
million. Yes, I would say that's correct, Jay. We have a technology that can convert any cellulosic material. That means grasses, wood, paper, farm waste, yard waste, forestry other products, and the cellulosic portion of municipal solid waste into biofuels and biodegradable bioplastics. It is entirely environmentally friendly. We use no toxic chemicals, and we recycle the water and the catalyst. And you're correct that it has a near zero carbon footprint, because the carbon that is produced from burning the cellulosic ethanol in your gas tank is ultimately reabsorbed by newly grown plant material that is in turn used as the feedstock for the next generation of ethanol and bioplastic by our system. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good attribute. Our process is a mechanical chemical process that is unlike other cellulosic conversion processes in that we don't use any strong acids or expensive and slow-converting enzymes in the conversion of the cellulose. The market for biofuels and bioplastics, as you know, is virtually infinite. Gasoline supplied in the United States is mandated to contain 10% ethanol, which amounts to around 15 billion gallons a year. And the global plastics market is around 100 billion a year. Our intention is first to produce single-use products like straws and utensils, which alone are consumed by the billions each year. So, you know, in a nutshell, as far as market opportunity is concerned, you know, our company couldn't grow, as fast as we could possibly grow, we cannot realistically, fulfill the market demand.
Okay, if you're going to produce, okay, go ahead.
Sure. No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask, if you're going to produce ethanol, is there some sort of a reason to think you can compete with existing ethanol producers?
Yes. Our feedstock, which is, as I mentioned, it's either a grown grass or it's a, someone else's waste. The cost of that is, ranging from zero if it's somebody else's waste to, that's about $45 a ton if, let's say, you're growing some, giant king grass or something like that. On the other hand, corn, which is the main producer of feedstock of ethanol produced in the United States, ranges in the, let's say, $150 to $200 a dry ton range. So our feedstock cost is significantly less expensive to begin with. Our capital cost will be a little higher because corn, you can bite into it, you can practically taste the sugar. Obviously, you bite into a piece of wood and it's not like that, so it takes a little bit more. But our process is uncomplicated. Unlike others, we don't use expensive enzymes. It's a very simple, cost-effective catalyst. And so we believe that ultimately we'll be able to produce sugar and then hence ethanol at a lower cost than from corn.
At a lower cost. So you think you're competitive in terms of your cost structure. And how advanced are you, Anthony, in terms of your project? To what stage and how close are you to commercialization of it?
Okay, we are currently on our fourth generation prototype that's being tested as we speak. When the results of that, we anticipate having, one more round of prototypes after this, and then a integrated module of a full scale commercial system. Let's call that the sixth generation. Mm-hmm. And then in production, our system is modular. So when we have a plant up and running, we expect multiple units of our system to be functioning at a full size, let's say 100 million gallon ethanol plant.
Mm-hmm. So you can scale up then, if I hear what you're saying. It's modular,
yeah, exactly.
And you can scale up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you're operating in Florida now, I believe, right?
Correct. Yeah, in the West Palm Beach area.
Mm-hmm. Any special reason why Florida?
Well, actually, there is a reason. Down in Florida is where you can grow king grass. King grass has an advantage in that you can grow a significantly larger percentage of feedstock per acre than something like corn or other grasses. And obviously, in warmer climates, everybody knows things grow faster than in colder climates, and they can grow 12 months of the year. So we actually just have just acquired a king grass acreage that we're going to be using as feedstock for our system.
And that's in the fourth, in your existing prototype?
In our existing prototype, and then the next level prototype, and yes. And then ultimately we're going to need more acres, and we'll contract with farmers and so on.
Mm-hmm. And what do you need to give you the green light to go commercial, and when do you think that might take place?
Well, probably in the 12 to 18-month range, we should have a system that's commercial ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I
would think you're talking about bioplastics as well. So what you're looking at a plastic, an environmentally friendly plastic product too, if I understand, right?
Absolutely. And that's, you know, it's interesting. We don't talk about that as much, but
it's a big deal.
Our system, it is a big deal, and our system may even yield a greater revenue from the plastic side than from the fuel side. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see about that, but that's a real possibility.
All right, so you're trading. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, and I just want to mention, since most people, most of your listeners are in the mining sector, they probably don't know that the government also offers renewable fuel credits, and for a cellulosic fuel, they offer what's called a D3 RIN, which is worth about $1.46 a gallon. That is paid on top of the price of ethanol. See, no one's really been able to crack this nut before. And so the government is offering, you know, fairly significant incentives up to, as of 2020, 590 million gallons will be earning that, you know, $1.46 a gallon.
Wow.
And there's not that much being produced at all. So it's offers us the opportunity to take a large percentage of that.
Yeah. Well, I like to think that these environmental technologies can make it on their own without government subsidies. You're not suggesting that you need that big government subsidies to make this work necessarily, are you?
No, okay. No, I am not. But it's a nice, I mean, ultimately,
sure.
In building a plant, we're going to have to go out to banks for debt financing, and it's nice when you're negotiating,
sure.
You know, what kind of rate you're going to borrow your money at, to say, hey, look, we can pay you back quickly. We're getting this, you know, this cash infusion from the government. At some point in the future, that's probably going to be taken away. But you know, for the next few years, it's probably going to increase in the number of gallons that they're offering the credit for.
Okay, Anthony, we're basically out of time here, but you're going to have to raise some money. Will you be doing some private placements along the way? And if so, people that might be interested, how can they get in touch with you?
Sure,
we're talking about accredited
investors,
of course.
That is correct. Yeah, they can contact us. Our information is on our website, or they can email me at anthony@alliancebioe.com. That's Alliance, AlliancebioE.com.
All right, and that's the website as well.
Yes.
All right. Well, this is certainly an interesting story, and it may be one that I pick up in my newsletter sometime soon in my tech section. This is the kind of thing I like to look at for my letter. I want to thank you very much, Anthony, for your time and sharing this knowledge with our listeners, and we'll hope to try to keep up with you in the future.
On.
You bet. All right, folks.
Great.
Well, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away, because Corwin Coe of Sitka Gold Corp. will be with me, and that's a company that shares are doing very nicely today, and we'll learn why when we talk to Corwin right after the break. Don't go away.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Noble Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Pilbara region of Western Australia. Novo has recently partnered with Sumitomo Corporation of Japan to evaluate, advance, and develop the company's Australian gold projects. With over $40 million in cash and $60 million committed from Sumitomo, Novo is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.